6 months into the U.S.-Iran war, and the strategy appears to be shifting from kinetic pressure to economic strangulation. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is set to announce Monday what he's describing as the toughest sanctions package in American history, and the framing itself is significant. We've had Iran sanctions regimes before, going back to 1979, but what Bessent seems to be signaling is a move toward full economic isolation rather than targeted restrictions. The idea is to cut Iran off from every financial corridor simultaneously, not just oil revenues but shipping, insurance markets, secondary banking relationships, all of it.
And the context here is crucial. Iran's economy is already operating under enormous strain. Its infrastructure has been struck repeatedly over these 6 months, and the war has accelerated the collapse of institutions that were already fragile from decades of prior sanctions. So the question isn't just whether new sanctions hurt Iran, it's whether they hurt Iran enough to change behavior, and fast enough to matter. There's a school of thought in sanctions policy that says you reach a point of diminishing returns, that once a country has already adapted its economy to isolation, adding more sanctions has asymptotically less effect.
Meanwhile, the human cost on the American side is no longer abstract. U.S. troops killed or wounded in the Iran war have now topped 770. That's a number that would have dominated political debate 5 years ago, but it's getting somewhat absorbed into the noise of daily war coverage. Former Vice President Mike Pence was out publicly this weekend calling further military action inevitable and urging Trump to, quote, finish the job. And House Speaker Mike Johnson told Fox News that allied nations will join what he called a new phase of the conflict, with specific confidence that the UK would participate.
But here's the tension that Johnson is dancing around. Trump called Italy and Germany very bad NATO partners this weekend, specifically because both nations, along with Germany, rejected his calls for NATO to help reopen the Strait of Hormuz. That's not a minor diplomatic disagreement. That's the core strategic question of the war. If the strait remains contested and major European allies won't commit to reopening it militarily, the economic pressure from the sanctions package has to do work that ordinarily required naval operations. Bessent is essentially being asked to accomplish with financial instruments what military force hasn't fully resolved.
And then there's the wild card from Tehran itself. Iran's president revealed this week that the late Supreme Leader Khamenei had privately backed peace talks with the United States before his death. That's a remarkable posthumous disclosure, and it could be genuine, or it could be a tactical move by the current government to create negotiating space. Simultaneously, Iran announced a discovery of 7.5 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in Fars province. Oil Minister Paknejad acknowledged production is likely years away, but the announcement is clearly aimed at showing domestic audiences that Iran's long-term resource position remains strong despite the war.
And Speaker Ghalibaf in Tehran was out mocking Trump's so-called economic D-Day as a boomerang, specifically arguing that the sanctions are hurting American allies and global markets more than Iran itself. That's an exaggeration for domestic consumption, but it's not entirely wrong either. When you squeeze Iran's energy exports that hard, you create price ripple effects that hit European consumers and Asian manufacturing. The Florida startup making low-cost drone interceptors, that story is really the micro version of a macro problem. The U.S. is improvising defense solutions in real time because the scale of drone warfare in this conflict outpaced existing military procurement systems. A startup producing cheap interceptors is entrepreneurially impressive and strategically telling at the same time.